So, chapter 24 in Genesis, as we pick up where we left off last time, we made it through first 9 verses, and we saw the promise that the servant of Abraham had made to him that he would go find a bride for his son Isaac. And so, as we come to it, we realize such a picture of what's to come, and we're going to see more of that this morning. Maybe we'll get through the whole chapter. It's a long chapter. We'll see here. But in chapter 10, it says, "And the servant took 10 camels camels of his master and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hand. And he arose and he went to Mesopotamia under the city of Nahor," which, remember, was the brother of Abraham. "And he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening when the women would go out and draw the water." So, ladies, be thankful. All you have to do is turn a handle. Or now, I guess you can just speak to it. I don't know. You do something to it. But they had to go out and get the waters. They would do that the morning and the evening, usually, and usually not from a line that was in their house. They would have to go to the well in the city or outside the city. But here comes the women at this time to draw the water for the nightly use here. "And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham." So as he cries out, as he sits himself down near a well of water, and again, you could do something with this. You could put it in a place where we need sometimes just to sit by the wells of water, where the living waters flow, so that we can hear and see and understand what God has. And the servant sits himself there. Remember, Abraham was a well digger, and it's important, as we're going to see Isaac come on the scene. He does things a little bit differently, and his kids after him, but Abraham was a well digger, so his master was used to sitting near the wells, used to being in that place, probably used to hearing Abraham pray to his God, pray to God the Father to direct him, to lead him, to guide him, but in that place where refreshment comes. And isn't it good that the word for you and I brings refreshment to us? It strengthens us. It keeps us even during the hardest of times. And it's during those times that we should be in the word the most, isn't it? But it's in those times that we're usually in the word the least. Because when things are hard, when issues are before us, when circumstances around us really pull on our emotions, it's really hard for us to concentrate on the word. But that's the time that we need to be there the most, to draw on those wells of water, the living water, that it would just come forth and just refresh us and strengthen us and speak to us about the things that we need to have. Because we so often just fly off the handle, don't we? Lord, this stuff is before us. We look around us. We see floods in South Korea. We see floods in Pennsylvania. We see floods in Canandaigua. We see shootings all over the country. And not just one or two people, but multiple mass shootings, more than ever before. And the world goes, well, we got to get rid of guns. The Bible says we got to change hearts. That's what's going to do it. The guns don't do it. The people are doing it. We need to get hearts changed, and they aren't going to get changed without a relationship with Jesus. They aren't going to get changed without walking with him and realizing that every life is precious in God's sight, that he's the one that made us. He's the one that sustains us and keeps us. And he's the one that wants to bring life to us, not death. And so many people are shaking their fist at God and saying, God, it's your fault. It's not God's fault. This is the work of the enemy. This is Satan. This is his work. God's work is to bring life. Satan's work is to bring death. And we see it all over. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Keep yourself in the word of God, reading and praying and just drawing from those wells every morning. Let the word speak to your heart and just draw you and refresh you in the midst. So he comes to this well of water, sits himself down, it's amazing the culture. He sits himself down and waits for somebody to come serve him. He's a servant himself, but he also knows the culture, and he also knows the things that are supposed to be going on. So, again, just a picture of things to come. In verse 13, he says, "Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water." They're in that place of drawing water for nourishment, for refreshment. It says this in Isaiah chapter 12, verse 3. Isaiah says, "Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation." He knew what the waters were for. They were to bring salvation. The living waters always want to bring salvation. "I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, 'Let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink,' and she shall say, 'Drink, and I will give thy camels drink also.' And let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac, and thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master." The prayer, not a general prayer, certainly structured, certainly in that place of being specific. And I think there's need for both of prayers in our lives. As he cries out, notice he's praying beforehand. He's praying beforehand. Prepare the way that this would come to pass. Lord, if it be your will, come, let this come. But what a prayer. And it came to pass before he had done speaking that, behold, Rebekah came out. Isn't it amazing? He isn't even done asking the Lord for it, and here she comes. The Lord has already prepared things. The Lord has already gotten things ready. He knew the prayer even before he was praying it. You have an amazing God that loves you. You have an amazing God that wants to answer you. We're just usually so busy and our minds are going so quick that we don't sit there and listen for an answer or look up and see the answer that's right before us. Well, Lord, I want to pray, but as soon as I'm done praying, I got to grab my coffee and I got to run, and we don't sit and listen for the answer. And the answer's usually right there. And we go, "God, why didn't you answer me? It's been months." He goes, "I answered you the first time. You just were so busy you didn't see me. You didn't listen." Oh, Lord, get a hold of our hearts, especially in the days that we're in when things are going so quick, that we could just be settled before you and just hear those answers. Before he had done speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher on her shoulder. Not a light pitcher, not a pitcher that we carry around that's in the kitchen right now. These were big honking jars that they're carrying. And they're carrying them on their shoulder. Oh, my goodness. I don't know if I'd want to meet her in a dark alley. She'd probably take me and put me up against the wall. "Sit down, boy." I don't know. But the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin. Neither had any man known her, and she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. And the servant ran to meet her. He looks at her. He knows it's her. She's not alone, but he knows it's her. The Lord points her out to him. As soon as he looks up, he sees her. She's right in front of his face, and he goes to meet her. He doesn't go to meet the others. He goes to meet her. That's why it's so important for us to be filled with the Spirit of God, to be walking in the Spirit of God so that we can see the things of God. Because otherwise we're going to see things that aren't of God, and we're going to gravitate to those things instead of the things that the Lord shows us. We think sometimes that we're being led by the Spirit of God, and all of a sudden we find out that we're so far from the presence of God that we've missed everything. We need to be filled. So if you haven't been filled with the Spirit of God, ask for the baptism of the Spirit. Ask that God would baptize you in his Spirit, that he would come into you and direct you and lead you, and then wait and listen for him. So important for us. It would save us a lot of time, wouldn't it? Instead of going to the other 20 girls that are there, however many that are there, and going one by one to find out if they're still virgins, to find out, that would be embarrassing, to find out if they're still the right ones. he sees her immediately and just goes right to her. He saved a lot of time and a lot of embarrassment. And that's what the Lord wants to do, is to direct us quickly to the things that he has for us. So the servant ran to meet her and said, "Let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher." And she said, "Drink, my Lord." And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him to drink. So she takes it off her shoulder, brings it down, brings it to him, gives it to him willingly, not resenting him, not resenting, "How dare you sit here and come and ask me for a drink? Can't you see I'm busy? I got stuff to do. This jar is heavy." Did you ever hear yourself saying that? "The burden that I'm carrying around is real heavy, Lord. I can't take time to minister to anybody because this thing is too heavy." Oh, the freedom that we have when God is there, we see the opportunities and nothing is too heavy for the Lord. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, "I will draw water for your camels also." Is this an answer to prayer or what? "Until they have done drinking." How many camels does he have? He told us he's got 10. He's got 10 camels. If they're thirsty, they can drink up to 40 gallons of water. 10 camels, 40 gallons of water. That's a lot of jars. Down the well, up, down the well, up. She hasted, emptied her pitcher in the trough, and ran again to the well to draw water, and drew for all his camels, not just one, but for all of them. She completed the work that was in front of her. She was faithful to the work that was in front of her. And sometimes we get surprised by things that come to us, works that God has for us. And I want to be like this girl. I want to be like Rebecca. Not only did she do it willingly, without complaining, she hasted. She did it quickly. "Lord, you've put this in front of me. Help me to do it faithfully and help me to complete the work that you've given me to do." Oh, Lord, help us in that. Sometimes we start out with a lot of zeal, don't we? And then we give up quickly because it gets too hard. It gets too heavy. Too many trips to the well. Too many jars to raise up out of the well. Too many camels to drink. How about we just shoot one of those camels instead of drawing water and we could have a meal while we're here? That way I could save, I don't know how many trips to the well to get this one fed. But she does it completely, all the way through. Oh, Lord, help us. She emptied her pitcher into the trough, and she ran again to the well and drew for all his camels. And the man, wondering at her, held his peace. That word "wondering" there means to be stunned or astonished. He was completely astonished of her faithfulness, of her willingness, of her strength to do the thing that was before her. I think he was amazed that God answered him. Aren't you amazed sometimes when God answers you? You just sit there with your mouth open, just, "Lord, I can't believe you answered. And you did it so quickly." He was stunned because the women of the day weren't all like that, were they? And how many of us are like that today? Do you think when the Lord comes back, because he said, "When I come back to earth, will I find faith on the earth?" Do you wonder sometimes if he'll be astonished at how many are faithful to him? Oh, Lord, help us. Lord, help us. I want us to be a church that's faithful to our God, to run to him, to trust him, to let him be God over us and not just our Santa Claus God. "God, this is what I want for Christmas. Please give it to me." Oh, help us, Lord. And you sit there and wonder, did she have to do it? No, because none of the rest helped her, did they? Ooh, you wonder how many are there and only one is working. Oh, remember the men that were blind, that came, or the lepers that came to the Lord, and there was 10, and how many came back and thanked him? Just one. Lord, am I going to be the one that has the thankful heart that would come and thank you for what you've done for me? Thankfulness is part of our prayer life, isn't it? We come to him and ask for things with thanksgiving, thankful for what he's done for us. The man wondered at her, and he held his peace to wit whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. I'm sitting there going, what? He answered your prayer word for word, and you're wondering if your prayer got answered? And it came to pass, as the camels had done drinking, that the man took a golden earring of half a shekel weight and two bracelets for her hands of 10 shekels weight. So comes to a place in verses 22 to 33, if you mark your Bibles, if you read, if you do that, go ahead and put this down. But in those verses, this is just a picture of God giving gifts to his church. God giving gifts to his people, and we'll get into that a little bit more as we go. But look at what he gives her. He gives her a golden earring of a half a shekel weight, two bracelets for her hands of 10 shekels weight of gold. These things that he's giving to her, these things that he's offering to her to just beautify her, they weren't her beauty, they were to add to. And isn't that what the gifts of God do? It isn't salvation, it just adds to the salvation that he brings. We see those gifts in 1 Corinthians chapters 12 to 14, don't we? That he gives gifts to men. We'll get into that in just a little bit. But it says that this here in Ephesians chapter 4, is a look at it, just that we see that the gifts that are there, the things that are there, are done for us. It says this in verse 12 of chapter 4, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body. He gives gifts. The first part of the chapter, he gives gifts. Some pastors, some teachers, the way that they minister. But it's all done for the body. And as the Holy Spirit gives gifts, it's for the edifying of the body, for the building up of the body. As he gives her gifts, just a picture of what the Holy Spirit does to us, it's to add to the beauty that she already has. And so we just see, again, just a wonderful picture of what's coming to pass later on. And we'll go to Revelation by the end of service, hopefully, and just see the beautiful bride that's adorned at the end of Revelation. All these gifts are given for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body, till we all come in unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, a mature man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ.
Amen.
Just a beautiful picture of what's to come. He adds to her. And he said, whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee, is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in? This guy is asking for an awful lot, isn't he? By the way, you got keys to the Cadillac that you're driving there? Just give them to me, okay? Just amazing. And she said to him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which she bare unto Nahor. And she said moreover unto him, we have both straw and provender enough and room for you to lodge in. And the man bowed his head and worshiped the Lord. Remember, he prayed, he gets the answer. And what does he do? He doesn't thank her and stand up. He bows his head and worships the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the answer you've given. How many times do we do that? We pray and we pray and we pray and we get the answer and we go, Yahoo! And we enter into it without ever thanking the one who's given it to us. Lord, thank you for the salvation that you've given me. Thank you for the day that I have. Thank you that I'm still breathing. Lord, thank you for everything. For the cars that we got here with. They may be clunkers, but you got here, didn't you? Thank you, Lord, for the ride that I didn't have to walk or ride a camel. That would be a trip, wouldn't it? When would you have to start to get here by camel? I don't know. But don't ask me to water them because I don't like camels. They spit. So the man bows his head and worships the Lord. And that's not a picture of how we need to pray, because you can pray with your head lifted, you can pray in any way, but just the picture of humility that he brings. He's just humbled before the Lord, so he bows his head and thanks the Lord in humility for what he's done. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and of his truth. And as he speaks those things, he's not only speaking them to the Lord, which he is doing, but he's saying those things in front of her. He's being a living witness to this woman, to those that are there with her, of the God that he serves. Oh, and can't we do that? people may not receive it, you know, and sometimes I get so caught up with who the Lord is and what's going on that we go into stores and do things, and, you know, the cashier will check things out if you go through the cashier line anymore. Most of us just go through the self-checkout because it's quicker and easier, and you don't have to put up with checks and coupons and everything else, and so you just do those things. But somebody tells you something or you ask for directions where this is, and you go, oh, praise the Lord, thank you. And they just kind of look at you like, who are you and where did you come from? But that's just a witness of what God is doing in our life. They may not receive it, but you know what? You just planted a seed that's going to go well beyond us realizing what just took place. He's saying it in front of those that are there. Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I being in the way, the Lord led me. Notice who's leading. Not him, the Lord is. The Lord led me. He's giving credit to the Lord for what he's done. It wasn't because I'm so good looking that I came to this well. It isn't because I had direction that I knew. I had it on Google Maps and I knew which well to go to. It's because the Lord led me. Oh, to the house of my master's brethren. Not only did he bring her this girl, but he's in the place of going to his master's relatives. Only God does that. He just happened to be at the well and just happened to see this girl and just happened to see that she was the one that was going to do it. Just happened to have her feed all the camels and do all of that stuff and then just ask her if there was a place to stay and just happen to be a relative. Those aren't coincidences. There are no coincidences. There's God incidences. The Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren, and the damsel ran. You know how many times she's been running back and forth to the well, and she gets up and runs again. Either she's got a whole lot of energy or something else is going on here, and told them of her mother's house, those things. And Rebecca had a brother, and his name was Laban. We're going to see him later on. He's not one of the best characters in Scripture, but he's one of the ones that are there. And just because part of the family is saved doesn't mean the whole family is saved, right? Amen. And Laban ran out unto the man unto the well. I don't think he came out just because he wanted to see a relative. I think he saw the earrings and the bracelets. Dollar signs ringing up in front of his eyeballs. You know those cartoons where they just dun-dung and you just get drawn to it. And it came to pass that when he saw the earring and the bracelets upon his sister's hands, and when he had heard the words of Rebecca, his sister, saying, this spake the man unto me, that he came unto the man and beheld, and behold, he stood by the camels at the well. And he said, come in, thou blessed of the Lord. Wherefore standest thou without? For I have prepared the house and room for the camels. You have? When did you exactly do that, Laban? Amazing. He wants the guy in the house before the rest of the town gets to him, right? And the man came to the house, and he ungirded his camels and gave straw and provender for the camels and water to wash his feet and the men's feet that were with him. And there was set meat before him to eat. But he said, I will not eat until I have told mine errand. And he said, speak on. Gotta be hungry. In the culture, eating with a family means you're breaking bread with them. You become part of the family. You're one with them. But before he even does that, he says, I'm going to put aside my fleshly needs for the spiritual need that's before me. Oh, how many of us do that? That we'll put the spiritual need before the physical needs. Oh, Lord, you have so much for us. And so Laban says, we'll go ahead. Speak on. And he said, I am Abraham's servant. He knows who he is. I am God's servant. I'm not holy and mighty. I'm God's servant. I'm a disciple of Christ. I'm not God. I'm not even an anointed one of God. I am his servant. And the Lord has blessed my master greatly. And he has become great. And he has He hath given him flax and herds and silver and gold and men servants and maid servants and camels and asses. Can you imagine Laban as he hears each one? He goes, check, check. Oh, good. We're marrying into a right family here. And Sarah, my master's wife, bare a son to my master when she was old, and unto him hath he given all that he has. Isn't that what Jesus said? That everything my Father has is mine. He's given me everything. The inheritance that I have is everything that the Father has given me. Do you get a picture here of what's going on in the heavenlies as well as what's going on the earth? Everything that he's talking about here that's happening on the earth has been done in heavenly places. And my master made me swear, saying, you shall not take a wife to wife, a wife to my son of the daughters of the Canaanites in whose land I dwell, but you shall go to my father's house and to my kindred to take a wife unto my son. And what is the Lord done? Who is the bride of Christ? Those who believe. Those who believe. It's not the unbelievers, it's the believers that are the bride of Christ. All those who have believed in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we are the bride of Christ. We are the ones that are going to be adorned by the Father, adorned by Jesus, to come into that relationship with Jesus. So when Jesus comes back to rapture his church, which we're all waiting for, as he comes back, what's the first thing that we do? We enter into the marriage supper of the Lamb. And in Jewish custom, that was 7 days. In Scripture, sometimes we see that those days turn into years. And so how long do we stay in the marriage supper of the Lamb? 7 years. While the tribulation is on the earth, we're in the marriage supper of the Lamb. Oh. And he goes on in verse 38. He said, you shall not go to, or you shall go into my father's house to my kindred to take a wife for my son, not from the unbelievers, but from the believers. Not from the ones who don't want me, but from the ones that want me. And I said to my master, peradventure, the woman will not follow me. And he said unto me, the Lord before whom I walk will send his angel with thee and prosper your way. And you shall take a wife for my son of my kindred and of my father's house. Then you shall be clear from this my oath when thou comest to my kindred. If they give not thee one, thou shalt be clear from my oath. And I came this day unto the well, and I said, O Lord God of my father Abraham, if now thou do prosper my way in which I go, behold, I stand by the well of water, and it shall come to pass that when the virgin comes forth to draw water, and I say unto her, give me, I pray thee, a little water of thy pitcher to drink. And she say to me, both drink thou, and I will also draw for thy camels. Let the same be the woman whom the Lord hath appointed out for my master's son. And before I had done speaking in my heart, behold, Rebekah came forth with her pitcher on her shoulder, and she went down to the well and drew water. And I said unto her, let me drink, I pray thee. And she made haste and let down her pitcher from her shoulder and said, drink, and I will give thee thy camels drink also. And I drank, and she made the camels drink also. And I asked her and said, whose daughter art thou? And she said, the daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, whom Milcah bare unto him. And I put the earring upon her face and the bracelets upon her hands. Those that were believers are going to be the ones that God does that to. The engagement process that's going to come to pass. As we enter into that relationship with Jesus Christ, we enter into that relationship that's going to bring us to be the bride of Christ at the marriage supper of the Lamb. He rehearses it. He tells Laban what's going on. The picture is all there. He tells him he's open and honest before everything. He's in that place of realizing what he has done. Excuse me. And all the conversation that has gone on. And so in verse 48, he says, and I bowed my head down and worshiped the Lord and blessed the God of my master Abraham, which had led me in the right way to take my master's brother's daughter unto his son. And now if you will deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me, and if not, tell me that I may turn to the right hand or to the left. Tell me now so that I can leave. Notice he's not going to enter in to eating and feasting with him until he has his answer, until the work is completed that he was sent forth to do. It says that if it's going to be right, then I'll enter in. But if not, I'm leaving. I'm not going to sit with unbelievers. I'm going to be separated from them. Then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, "The thing proceedeth from the Lord. We cannot speak thee bad or good." This is the Lord. We can't do anything about it. Our hands are tied. This is all yours. And behold, Rebekah is before you. Take her and go, and let her be your master's son's wife, as the Lord has spoken. A question comes to my mind right away. She's never seen Isaac. What if I don't like him? What if he doesn't have any hair? You know, my mind starts going through all those things, and you just look and realize this girl, her family, the master, Abraham, the servant, are all walking by faith. And how much do we walk by faith? Remember when you first got saved and the Lord seemed to answer every single prayer that you prayed, and he did it quickly? You don't? He did. And then when you started walking with him a little bit more, it seemed like you had to press the Lord even more. You had to go to him a little bit more. I think it's because the Lord is showing us how to walk by faith and not to walk by sight or by answer. I want you to trust me, and I want you to trust me enough to know me so that you can walk in the right way as you go through, and that you won't have to have direction all the way through. If I've told you to go all this way, and remember, the journey this servant took probably took a few months to get there. This wasn't just an overnight trip and a stay at a motel. This was probably a few months' journey. What if you asked him all the way along, "You sure you want me to go all this way? Why don't I just stop here and do this here? I can get a bride from here. Abraham will never know." He knows. Dad knows. But when he got there, then the Lord started answering again and providing those answers. Sometimes we need to take the direction we already have and just go in that direction until the Lord gives us the next step. But we're so fast food oriented that we want an answer every 4 seconds, and we just want to keep going. He does lead us all the way through, but sometimes we've got to take those promises that we already have and trust him. Like when he says, "I'll never leave you or forsake you," and we're constantly praying, "Lord, where are you? How come you left me?" He goes, "No, I told you once, I'll never leave you." Oh, we need to trust. Have those as foundation blocks and build on those as we go through. Did he say he would take care of us and our families? Yes. Are we trusting him? Sometimes. When things are good, I'll trust you. When things are bad, maybe not. And he says, "But I'm the same God that I was when I answered as when I don't answer." Oh, Lord, help me to trust as we go through. Rebekah's before you. Verse 51, "Take her and go, and let her be your master's son's wife, as the Lord has spoken." And it came to pass that when Abraham's servant heard their words, he worshipped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. Third time we see it in this chapter. This guy was a man of prayer. And as soon as he got the answer, he didn't go, "Yahoo, let's go." He prayed again. Take time to thank the Lord. He's worthy for thanks. And the servants brought forth jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment, and gave them to Rebekah, and he gave also to her brother and to her mother's and to her mother precious things. And doesn't the Lord do that with our families? As we enter into that relationship, our families get blessed just by our presence. Even if they're not believers, even if Laban isn't a believer, he still gets blessed because of what's going on with Laban and Isaac and Abraham. They may not understand it, but even unbelievers know. Remember Abimelech came to Abram and said, "We know that the Lord is prospering you and blessing you, and we just want to enter into an agreement with you." They weren't believers, but they knew that God was blessing him. We see it with Daniel in Babylon. You see it with others in Scripture. The people outside knew that they were being blessed because of their relationship with the Lord. And they wanted to have part of that blessing, but they don't know the Lord in the midst of it. And when we got saved, our families got blessed because you started talking about Jesus. Even if they didn't like it and didn't want to hear that name, your family's getting blessed because of his presence in your life. The people at work are getting blessed because of your presence there, because God is with you. And we're doing the same things that are going on here. So he brings forth jewels of silver, and as we see those gifts that he's giving, those gifts again are from 1 Corinthians 12. We don't have time to go through there and through chapter 14, but just all those gifts that he gives out, the spiritual gifts and the ministry gifts, all those things that he gives out in those chapters. And it says that they did eat and drink, he and the men that were with him, and they tarried all night, and they rose up in the morning and said, "Send me away unto my master." And her brother and her mother said, "Let the damsel abide with us a few days, at the least 10, and after that she shall go." And he said unto them, "Don't hinder me." Don't hinder the work of the Lord by having us stay in a place that we're not supposed to be. Seeing the Lord has prospered my way, send me away that I may go to my master. I want to go to the place where my master is. And don't you want to go to the place where your master is? Oh, was talking with a gal yesterday, and we knew her from years ago, and she's in palliative care, just waiting for a bed. She's in her relative's home right now, but just she's not eligible for a transplant. She needs a heart, she needs lungs, she needs a few other things, and she doesn't qualify because she's got so much wrong with her. But she goes, "You know, really, I'm in a win-win. If I die, I'm home. If he heals me, I'm better." I said, "Lord, I don't know if I'd do that." She was just, "I'm okay. Whatever you want to do, Lord." It's just amazing. You know, "Lord, give me that heart that would be okay no matter what you do. If you give me a disease, I'm okay. If you heal me, I'm okay. If you give me strength, I'm all right. Oh, help us, Lord, but let me do it quickly." And they said, "We will call the damsel and inquire at her mouth." And they called Rebekah and said unto her, "Will you go with this man?" And she said, "I will go." Amazing. "I will go," right away. It says this in 1 John chapter 4, verse 9, "And this was manifested, the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." And then down in verse 19 it says, "We love him because he loved us first." It wasn't that we saw him. It's that he revealed himself to us and we loved him because he first loved us. Abraham is going to love his wife, not because he's seen her, but because she responded to his invitation. The invitation was given to Rebecca, come to the Father, come to this relationship, and she accepted without seeing. And what is faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, not the things that are seen. Oh, we haven't seen heaven, but we believe it, don't we? We say we believe it. Why? Because he loved us. His love is shed abroad in our hearts, and as his love is shed abroad in our hearts, we love heaven, and we've never been there. How do you know you're going to love heaven? Because he's there. And he loved us first. We didn't love him first and say, "Hey, God, how about making a heaven so we can come and visit you?" He did everything first and prepared it for us. Oh. And she said, "I'll go. I'll go even though I don't know. Even though I don't know this, I'm going to enter into this relationship." Isn't that what you and I have done? We've entered into a relationship with the true and the living God, and we don't even know who he is. We haven't seen him. And we said yes. And as you said yes, you enter into that relationship, and now we start seeing those things that he has for us. He starts equipping us with those gifts, starts putting those jewels upon us, those crowns, those wonderful things that he wants to bless us with. And so they sent, in verse 59, away Rebekah, their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant and his men. And they blessed Rebekah and said unto her, "You are our sister. Be thou the mother of thousands of millions." Woe, and let thy seed possess the gate of those which hate them. And Rebekah arose and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man. And the servant took Rebekah and went on his way. She followed the man not knowing the way, but she knew that the way was going to be prosperous and it was going to be good. And we're sojourners and pilgrims here in this world, aren't we? But we know we're going to heaven. Tells us in Hebrews, we're sojourners here. We're just passing through. This is not your home. Aren't you glad? Because your home needs a lot of work. Oh, but thank goodness we have a better place. And Isaac came from the way of the well Lahairoi, for he dwelled in the south country. Just in that place that we see. But isn't it interesting? When was the last time you saw Isaac? When he was up on Mount Moriah being sacrificed. So what's the picture that we see here? That Jesus is coming back to get his bride. Oh, I mean like the rapture. The whole picture of what's coming on in the New Testament is right here in the Old. The Old Testament is just prophesying of what's to come in the New, and the New Testament is just grabbing a hold of the things that were in the Old. If you're just reading your New Testament without reading your Old Testament, you're missing out on a real blessing. And you know, there's a lot of teachers that are just teaching the New Testament now because the Old Testament's too hard for people to grab a hold of. Oh, it's just a fulfilling of what's going on in the New. Read all of it, the whole counsel of God. So Isaac came from the way of the well, and Isaac went out to meditate in the field at eventide, and he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. And Rebekah, who is the bride, right, lifted up her eyes. What are we going to do when Jesus comes back? We're going to lift up our eyes and see he is coming, and we're going. And remember, the rapture of the church is not the second coming. The second coming is when Jesus comes back and steps foot on planet Earth in Jerusalem and splits the mountain in two. When he comes for the church, he's in the clouds, it tells us in Thessalonians. He doesn't step on planet Earth. The rapture is different from the second coming. A lot of people put it together, it's different. But it's for the bride of Christ. Not for the unbelievers, but for those who say, like Rebekah, we will go. Oh, she had a choice, didn't she? You had a choice to accept Jesus or not accept Jesus. And when you accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, what you were saying to him is, I will go. Ugh. I will go with you, Lord, wherever you want to take me. Yahoo. And ladies, for those of you that are scared, when you said to your husband, I'll marry you, what you were really saying is, wherever you go, wherever you take me, I'll go. Some of those places weren't the best places in the world, and some of those decisions that we made are not the best ones, but Jesus never makes a mistake and never will take you to places that you don't want to go or that you don't want to see. We in these earthly tents still make mistakes, and we take you to places that you shouldn't have to go, but he never will. He's a perfect husband, and he'll take us in those right places. She lifted up her eyes. When she lifted up her eyes, she saw him. How does she know it was him? She's been traveling for months. She probably saw hundreds of guys along the way. When we see Jesus, we're going to know who he is, aren't we? We're going to see the nail holes in his hand. We're going to see the hole in his side. We're going to see the names graven on his hands. Oh, our names that are there. We're going to take communion in a minute, and we're going to remember those very same things. For she had said unto her servant, what man is this that walks in the field to meet us? And the servant said, it's my master. And she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all the things that he had done. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. We got a great picture that goes on here too, all the way through. We see so many different things, as far as the picture of Jesus, the picture of who he is, the picture of all that's going on. Don't have to hold your place here, but turn to Revelation 19. We'll just do this, and then we'll finish up. But in that place, we see a man who loved her. And we see a lot of men who love the Lord. And a lot of these men married more than one wife. I think it's interesting, as Isaac becomes a representation of Christ, he only married one time. Wonder how many times Jesus is going to marry his bride, or a different bride. Just once. David, multiple wives. Even before David, many men marrying multiple wives. But Isaac only married one. It's a wonderful, wonderful picture of what's going to go on. You're his one and only, and he loves you. Ah, thank you, Lord. In Revelation 19, we just see some wonderful pictures here. Just for time's sake, because I've run a little bit further down in verse 7 of chapter 19. It says, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife hath made herself ready." How do we make ourselves ready? By submitting ourselves to the Spirit of God and his ways, by being obedient to who God is and what he's told us. And notice in verse 8, it says, "And to her it was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white." He takes his wife and he puts on her this fine linen. What does it tell us in Isaiah? That the Lord gives us robes of righteousness. We're arrayed in these robes that God made. Our bridegroom gives us because he wants to see us in the very best. There's no blemish, there's no stain, there's no sin, because it's been forgiven in Christ because of what he's done on the cross. "To her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints." Do you ever think of yourself as being righteous? How quickly we fall, huh? But when we're there, we're going to be righteous forever. Oh. "And he saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called." You are blessed because you're called to come to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Not because you've deserved it, not because you've earned it, but because of what Christ has done for us and us accepting what he's offered to us. "Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God." And what does he do? "I fell at his feet to worship." Amazing. In John, it says that the angel said to him, "Don't do it because I'm just like you." But who's the one that we worship? Jesus. What did we see the servant doing? Every time the Lord answered a prayer, he bowed his head and he worshiped the Lord. And so, Father, we come this morning as we prepare our hearts to take communion, Lord. We realize all that you've done. And we see the picture so clearly, Lord, of the things that you do for the church. You give gifts. You clothe us. You anoint us. You direct us. You lead us. You've done everything that we need for life and godliness, Lord. You've provided it. And so we just come this morning with hearts of thanksgiving. We bow our heads before our Master and worship you. We bow our hearts to the only one that's worthy and rejoice in who you are. You've given us such clear pictures of what's to come, Lord, and we just rejoice in that because you alone are worthy. And so we just enter into that rejoicing this morning with thanksgiving, Lord. Father, prepare our hearts. If there's anything that we're hanging on to that's just causing us to be downcast or in despair, just help us to just confess those things and let you take those from us, that we might lift up our eyes and see the glory that you have for us, Lord. Not the despair of the world, but the hope of the Blessed One who loves us. Minister to our hearts now, Father. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. thank you, Father, for all that your Son has done for us. We hold the bread, we hold the cup, and we know his body was broken, his blood was poured out because of our sin. We just thank you that you paid the debt that we couldn't pay, that you were the one that overcame all the things that we couldn't overcome, that we haven't overcome. So, Lord, we just come with hearts grateful this morning, thankful for all that you've done. And we just want to bow our hearts and worship the only one who's worthy. His name is Jesus. And we just thank you, Lord, and we thank you in your precious name. Amen. Let's partake.